This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The fourth, the final hour of the Rob Brown Show for the day, for the week, starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the fan upstate, the great one, Lonzo, over there. I am Rob Brown, over here. And right there on the stream, joining us as they do on Fridays for the duration of the high school football season, the host, two-thirds of the host of the Moving the Chains pod, which you can find at movingchains.com. No G in that. It's the same handle on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Moving Chains. And you can find the Moving Chains podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are found. Joining us now on the Rob Brown Show, we got Kevin Thomas. We got John Epps. Boys,
check out the artwork. I like that.
Yeah, John, what are we working with? Where, like whose apartment did you break into to do this interview?
Hey, don't incriminate me, okay?
All right, whose house are you hanging out at? Because I don't know if that's your vibe, bud.
No, well, I like it. And the brick and everything. I mean, it's a good look.
It's a tropical feeling. The girlfriend does a great job with the decor. I'm more of a decor kind of guy. She's more on, you know, the decor.
Yep. The painting behind you over your right shoulder. I have to say, and this is not to critique, because now that you've informed me the locale and the clientele who purchased it, somebody just threw paint at a canvas. Is that art? Are we calling that art?
You know, you can call it what you want.
It describes my state of mind today. I mean, yeah, I think it accurately depicts crazy.
That's fair. I get it.
I believe that is an original.
Ah, so John's like, watch this. I'm going to make Rob look like a real butthole on the radio. I appreciate that. I do. KT, what's up, big fella? How we doing?
Doing well, my man. Good to be here as always.
You go with the whole I don't want you to see the mess behind me blurry cam look, which, I mean, I get it. Is that what we're working with here? You're just working in a disaster area and trying to keep it covert?
Pretty much. You know, I got some paintings like on the couch that haven't hung up yet, so I got a mess back here. So, yeah.
What an adult. What an adult. I love to hear it. Kevin Thomas, John Epps from the Moving the Chains pod here on the show. And fellas, playoff time. I mean, I don't know how to say. Friday nights only get better when it's win or go home, man. And we got some bangers tonight. Let's start with the one that you will hear not here, but on our sister station, 98.9 WORD, this evening, as we've got Furman basketball tonight from the Bonscore Wellness Arena as well. But they'll be over on the big stick. The Burns Rebels are the home team, but this one's going to be over at Presbyterian in Clinton with a T, definitely Clinton.
It's for sure Clinton.
As they host Lexington tonight, Kevin, let's look at this one, big dog.
Two teams that want to run the ball a lot. Coach Dustin Curtis over at Lexington is a guy that's really hard-nosed, smash-mouth type of style there. They've won a lot of football games playing defense, running the ball this year. But Burns has two, man, and they've just even gotten better with Trey Sierra coming back the last few weeks. He's a load in the backfield. The sophomore back is a stud. Zay Landrum's playing better for them on offense as well. They, you know, we talked all year long, Rob, they want to grind it out and you know, cause turnovers and run the ball down your throat. And I think these are two similar teams. I think Burns is a little more talented. I think it should be a fun game, but I like the Rebels in this one.
Talk to me a little bit about the teams involved here, because this is a Burns team that had a real slow start to the season, got into regional play, suddenly started kind of pulling it together. Not a ton of offensive production, but defensively able to hold the line about against pretty much everybody they played, with a couple of stumbles here and there. Talk to me a little bit about the development and what you've seen out of this Burns team and what you expect out of a possible playoff run for the Rebels, a team that a lot of people were ready to mark for dead 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah, exactly right, Rob. I mean, that season could have gone south. I mean, Coach, you know, Shaw has done a fantastic job there. When you're sitting there, I think it was 0-3, easily could have folded up shop, gone home and just cut it, you know, maybe won one game, two games, just called it a year. But they have bounced back, played some awesome football down the stretch. Man, really gritty, really gutsy team there. Fantastic job by the Rebels. Lexington, kind of a similar, you know, story there. Had a, you know, one maybe nice, you know, non-region win, but really turned it on in region play. I think they finished at 5-5 overall, so kind of a similar, you know, similar line there as Burns. But I think the Rebels a little more talented. I think they win this week. Next week they'll get a showdown with Spartanburg if they do win, who just hammered them a couple weeks back. So we'll see how that goes. But I do like the Rebels' chances tonight to at least win one.
Interesting. We'll keep an eye on that game. Of course, Cole Bryson will be on the call tonight. That one over on our brother station, WORD. John Richland, Northeast at Seneca. I'll be honest, a couple of teams I'm not super familiar with. So sell me on it, Don King of high school football. What are we looking at here?
Oh, you don't want to miss this. So Richland Northeast, they are led by quarterback Will Wilson. Now you think, oh, that sounds like a very normal, maybe even a made-up name. This guy is anything but normal. He's an electric player. He's an NC State commitment, and he's really fun to watch. But he's been hurt in the back half of the season. I'm not convinced he's 100% healthy, but when he is, this is a very, very dynamic offense, very good team. He's good at throwing the ball. He's good with his feet. But they have just not been playing to their potential at the end of the season. Seneca's been strong all year, but their two toughest games they've lost. You know, they played Daniel to end the season. Daniel, the juggernaut that they are. They were somewhat competitive in this game, but third, fourth quarter, Daniel started to pull away. I think this is going to be an exciting game to see if Richland Northeast can come out and play like they played early this fall. If they do, they're going to win this game, and they're a very, very good team, and they can be a dangerous sleeper in the 4A bracket. But I think Seneca's just playing a little bit better football right now. I think they're the more solid equipped team, more consistent group. This game is in Seneca as well, so that's a long trip from Columbia. I think this will be a really good ball game. I don't really know which way to go on this. I like Seneca a little bit, but if Russian Northeast comes out, look out. They are a good team, and they're playing well.
All right, next one has John next to it, but I do want both of you to break this game down for me, because the only way high school playoff football gets better is when high school playoff football is a couple of rivals getting together, tangling it up, and trying to send each other home with some heartbreak. Boiling Springs at Dorman. Both of you, give me a rundown on this one.
And what's great about this, Rob, is these are two teams in the same region that didn't get to play this year because of the hurricane. So we get to see the game anyway now that we were going to get earlier in the year, but got canceled. So really cool about that. Boiling Springs, you know, I love the quarterback Lincoln Husky. He's a great player right there for them. Running backs Chim and Morgan. I like Kyle Patterson out wide. He's got 14 touchdowns this season. Defensively, their D-line really gets after it, really shakes things up. They're great on that side of the football. Dorman, they've got a new quarterback, Bryce O'Neal's kind of stepped in, taking over that spot there. Running back Nick Means, receiver Arcega Whiteside. Defensively, they got a kid just got his fourth star this week, Kentavian Anderson. He's a 2026 guy, a safety. He can fly around back there for Coach Morris's bunch. I think this is a really good game. I think it's a low-scoring game. I'm going to lean Dorman because I trust their quarterback a little bit more, but this should be a fantastic matchup between two rivals.
I think you meant to say Boiling Springs.
Yeah, Boiling Springs. Is that not who
God,
I'm
Kevin, get it together, man. This is a professional outfit we're trying to run here.
See, Rob, this is how you hedge. You say both. You want both to win.
This is why there's two of us. Keep each other honest here. Yeah, I think Kevin's exactly right. You know, these are two really good physical, defensive-minded teams. I know Kevin likes Lincoln Husky over at Boiling Springs to be the edge. I think Dorman – I'm going to go Dorman in this game – I think their defense has just really been their calling card, and they've been playing really good football. They've much improved since last season. I've been impressed by the Cavaliers. They're getting to play at home. Dorman University, as people like to call it. I think that could be the difference. But, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, like a 14-10 kind of ball game. I think it's going to be a knockout fest. should be a really physical game for the year. For you defensive, physical, old school football minded people, should be a really fun game. Though, good to see the rivalry get back together. And hey, you know, the team that wins this game, that's a big time. That's a big time step for either program. No matter who wins this one, it's gonna be a fun ball game.
Got a few more we can run through here as we wrap it up. Kevin Thomas and John Epps from the Moving the Chains Pod join us every Friday at 9 o'clock for the duration of the high school football season. Texter just texted the text line at 71307. Start your text with fan and said, "Fellas, just wondering what kind of chance you give to Christ Church and Fountain Inn in the playoffs." You got thoughts on either one of those?
So I'll say Christ Church. I think they're in a really good spot in their bracket. They kind of have a bit of a weaker piece of it. Well, I think they can make a little run. Like, I don't think they'll get to the state title game. Just there's a lot of talent in Upper State 3A. But I think they could certainly win a couple of ball games. Fountain Inn, you know, this is their first year having a senior class. Their first time in the playoffs. Really cool stuff. They have a tough matchup with Greer tonight. I think they've got a chance to win that, and will be tough over, obviously, over at Greer. But I think both those teams can win one game. I think Christchurch probably has a better chance to make a deeper run than Fountain Inn. But two schools that I certainly would not write them off tonight.
Yeah, I think Fountain Inn's got a good chance to win tonight. Greer's been playing really good football. But the winner of that game is probably going to face South Point in the second round. And you talk about a machine. The Stallions have been really, really strong lately. So if Fountain Inn get a win, that's awesome. Awesome for them, but it might be the only one they get. But no matter what, hats off to the Fountain Inn program. First year they've had 12th graders on the team, so cool to see them make the playoffs.
All right, I'll ask you both because we got about 2-3 minutes left with Kevin and John here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. If I asked you both for one game, whether we've mentioned it or not so far, but one game you've got circled for round one for this evening that you think is the one people should pay the most attention to, what game would it be, fellas?
What do you think, Kev?
Man, just one? It's hard to go against that Bowling Springs-Dorman game, honestly. I mean, that's just, you know, you get the region tie-in, the rivalry tie-in already, plus they're pretty two darn good football teams. I think that's probably the top biller here in the Upstate.
I'm going to go Richland Northeast Seneca just because of the potential factor in that game. You know, Seneca didn't play the toughest schedule all year, so it's hard to tell really how good they are. Richland Northeast, obviously with the electric offense that they can have with Wills Wilson. And also, if you go to that game for no other reason, just to see a D1 prospect and Will Wilson play is really cool.
I like so it.
I'm going to go with that game.
Texter writes the text line and says, all caps, how about them damn Gaffney Indians, boys? Regular caps, don't count them out. All caps, ever. What do we think about the Gaffney Indians?
Man, they were down 24-7 going to the fourth quarter last week. Come back to win the ball game, man. Just awesome, awesome performance by Gaffney over there at the reservation. You know, Rob, I mean, they said they got some ghosts over there, and they showed up Friday night. We needed them for sure, man. That was a huge win to clinch the region title. They get a bye this week now in the playoffs. Just an awesome performance. Like, you know, as they say, typical Gaffney fashion. Like, they come out of nowhere to win a game at the end, man. Just a wild, wild one there last week, last Friday night.
Got
against a red-hot Spartanburg team, too. I picked Spartanburg. I felt good about it. And, you know, I need to learn my lesson. Gaffney does this all the time.
Football's the best, man. Football's the best. Real quick before I let you go, I do have one more question. You guys ever put wasabi in mayonnaise before?
I have not tried that.
Maybe. I don't think so.
We played a Matthew McConaughey clip earlier where he was talking about
making
a
tuna fish. I saw that.
Bro, tell me you didn't hear that and lose your mind. Like, Kev, I don't know about you. I got to do it.
Well, the problem is I want to hire someone to do it for me because that was a lot of steps.
A lot of steps there. And I'm going to tell you the worst part, and he's absolutely right about putting that sandwich in the fridge overnight, letting it kind of congeal a little bit, let that flavor spread around. If I spend that much time making a damn sandwich, Kevin, I'm eating it right now.
That's true. You almost got to make two.
Yeah.
One for the next day, one for right then.
Yeah, you ain't wrong. All right, see, Lonzo, I'm not crazy. I got other people living in the same weirdo world that I exist in.
You both showed emotion about a tuna fish sandwich. I'm just saying. It
sounded fantastic.
No, it sounds good, but I'm not going to get overly hyped about it. That may just be my personality.
Lonzo, that's where I get lost when you say tuna sandwich. I can't love Matthew McConaughey. I can't mess with the tuna sandwich.
I'm about to make the hell up out of one of those this weekend, fellas. I'm not going to lie. If it's cold and rainy again this weekend, that's all I'm doing. Staying home and making a Matthew McConaughey tuna fish sandwich.
Hey, do it in the office.
No, I like my job.
So
really
someone
do.
Did that yesterday. They made cabbage, and it's stayed in the building the entire day to the point where people come and asking me, hey, did someone make cabbage? Like, why are you asking me? It wasn't me.
Was it Kevin?
Was it Kevin?
those scents seem to go up through the floor. So
it's always the damn salespeople. Kevin Thomas, John Epps from the Moving the Chains pod. Kevin, you want to say thank you to your accountability buddy, John Epps here for keeping you honest a minute ago.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, John.
I just don't want you making anybody mad.
Fellas, appreciate y'all pulling up as always. We'll talk to you next week for round two.
See you.
Thanks,
guys.
Rob. Thanks, Lonzo.
You got it. Kevin Thomas, John Epps. Moving the Chains. You can find them again on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Moving Chains. The website is movingchains.com. No G in that. And the podcast available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. We are back to talk some NFL schedule when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Thank you, as always, to Chris Miller for joining us here on the show. Thank you, as always, to Kevin and John from the Moving the Chains pod for dropping by and chatting us up with some high school football. Now we turn our attention to the big fellas. We take a look up and down the NFL schedule for the weekend. The Carolina Panthers on the bye this week as they get set for the Kansas City Chiefs. Great googly moogly coming up next weekend. We kick it off. Great one. Green Bay Packers -5.5 on the road at the Chicago Bears. Is there a interim coach bump as Thomas Brown takes over as the offensive coordinator? Of course, the Panther fans have a little bit of experience with Thomas Brown as he was the OC for a hot minute up there in Charlotte, kind of disappeared, and now we find out why. Was a position coach with Chicago. He'll try to figure out how to unlock Caleb Williams this weekend. I don't know if it's going to matter. I don't think there is an interim bump for an offensive coordinator like there is a head coach in Vegas. I'll take the pack to cover.
I mean, is Jordan Love playing?
Far as I know.
Okay. I mean, because I don't know if whoever's a quarterback for Green Bay of Chicago, if they're still Chicago's daddy or not. So I guess we'll find out.
They haven't put Jordan Love's name on the deed to Soldier Field just yet.
Okay, so I think this is a coin toss for me.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't believe the Green Bay hype. So I'm gonna go with the bump. I'm gonna go with Chicago.
Go with Thomas Brown as the OC. The Packers coming off, of course, their last loss against the Lions by 10. They had reeled off four consecutive wins over the Jags, Texans, Cardinals, and Rams before that one. Yeah, all the games that they have won, with the exception of the Cardinals games, were one possession wins.
I was gonna say there's one good win in there, maybe, and that's the Texans. And Texans hasn't looked like they did last year, so maybe that wasn't as good of a win as
that's
it
fair.
Sounds.
It's fair. Packers by 5.5 in this one. Jacksonville on the road to Detroit. You don't see this very often, kids. The Lions, a 14-point favorite. Do not expect the return of Trevor Lawrence in this one yet. Lions by a billion.
Yeah, is the line ever bigger than that in the NFL?
Very rarely.
Okay, are you surprised that it's not bigger on this game?
No, and this is why I said earlier, you'll remember I set the exact same line for Panthers Chiefs next weekend. It takes a pretty perfect storm for an NFL line to go 15 points or more. Like, it does happen, but it's usually like worst team in the league, and they're missing X amount of guys, and they're on the road, and. 14 is usually about what I expect in a spot like this, and I still take Detroit to cover. It's not going to be fun. Minnesota's at Tennessee. They are favored by just 6 in this one. Minnesota had one of the hottest starts in the NFL.
Who are they playing?
At the Titans.
Okay, because you didn't mention that.
I thought I did. Okay. Minnesota at Tennessee this weekend. They are coming off of a 12-7 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville last weekend. They knocked off the Colts before that, had back-to-back L's to the Lions and the Rams. Of course, you go back to that Rams game, and that is another game that a lot of people feel like the officiating changed the outcome of that game. I don't know that it changed the outcome, but it did remove a chance for the Vikings to climb back into that game, and you all know how I feel about bad officiating surrounding the LA Rams, but the Titans are real bad. Minnesota to cover. Three favorites
Titans
covering in a row.
Really, really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Missing Mike Vrabel yet?
Missing Mike Vrabel, missing Derrick Henry. Don't know that they are regretting Will Levis yet, but they're not.
Missing Tannehill yet?
Yeah, right. Missing Ryan Tannehill yet. They lose to the Chargers by 10. Did beat the Patriots the week before that, but, I mean, honestly, who besides the Bears hasn't done that? Oh, the Jets, that's right. And they've got the Dolphins as a win as well. But, of course, that was back in week four when the Dolphins had just lost to us. So that's an ugly one. I think Minnesota covers just because Tennessee is that bad. Las Vegas is down at Miami. Miami 7-point favorites in this one. I'm actually going to take the Raiders to cover in this one. I think Miami has had their "we got everybody back" spike. I think that one goes back down. Listen, what do you want to do against Tua? Collapse the pocket, make him run, try to get him out of sorts, try to throw his timing off. If there's a team that can do that across the front four, it's the Las Vegas Raiders. I think Miami wins at home, but I do think the Raiders can cover 7.
All right, something to keep in mind. Tyreek Hill is hurt. They would like him to get surgery on his wrist.
He said no.
Right, right. So that could come into play.
Yeah, it very much could.
It could definitely come into play.
The Rams, speaking of, around on the road at the New England Patriots. The line in this one, Rams minus just 4.5. I think this is actually one of my favorite easy covers of the weekend. The Patriots aren't good. Obviously, that's a bit of an understatement. The Patriots aren't good. They are 3-7 with wins over the Bengals back in week one. Remember, the Bengals, I think Jamar Chase reported to put on a helmet for the first time in 2024, like 7 minutes before kickoff in that one. They beat the Jets, who are a dumpster fire, and they beat the Bears, who are a dumpster fire. I think that win over the Bears gave the Patriots a couple of points worth of spike on the line here. I also don't think that Gillette is the home field advantage it was years ago. Obviously, don't think I'm going out on a thin limb there. Look, Puka Nacua kind of been banged up, not really producing the way you want. I think Sean McVay sees that. I think he knows that. I think this offense looks a lot better for the Rams this weekend. I think they cover up the Patriots 4.5 easy.
Yeah, no problem.
Cleveland down at New Orleans. By God, the Saints might win a game. The Browns are in New Orleans, Lonzo, and the Saints are favored by 1 point.
Who's the starting quarterback for the Browns? Is it Jameis?
It should be Jameis.
Okay, so if it is Jameis, I'd be a little bit concerned.
Revenge game.
Exactly.
Revenge game.
Or at least he knows the team pretty well, so that could factor into a victory for Cleveland.
I am going to go with, and I don't ever do this, and I don't want to, and I don't like to. I'm going to go with the interim head coach spike last another week. Darren Rizzi and the Saints get it home. They only got a cover by 1 point over Cleveland. I'll put it this way. If they don't, various pieces of furniture around the Rob Brown household will be flipped.
All right. So I normally would go against you just to make you angry.
Sure.
But I'm not going to do that. I think New Orleans wins another one.
If they do.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't. I'm done. James said, Joey B said, Jameis going for 450, 5 touchdowns, or 150 and 5 INTs. No in between.
Well, it's a coin flip with him.
It is. Indianapolis at the Jets. The Jets favored by 4 in this one at home. Anthony Richardson returning to the QB1 role, and I think he's only returning to the QB1 role because it's the Jets. I think if there was the Chiefs or the Bills in this slot, they're absolutely rolling Flacco with stinks. Joe Flacco.
No, Flacco stinks. Yeah, that's why he's back.
So does Aaron Rodgers.
No.
This not, is a not, battle of booty cheeks quarterbacks. Dude, this isn't a conversation. His stats are 28th in the league overall. He's just a bad quarterback.
Have you seen how bad Patrick Mahomes' stats are?
Have you seen Patrick Mahomes' record versus the Aaron Rodgers record? I'm fine with a bad quarterback if the team's good around him.
Okay.
He's bad, and the Jets are bad. Give me the Colts to cover up 4.
Nah, Jets win.
Baltimore.
And Richardson taps out again.
I can guarantee you, of all of them, he ain't doing that again. He ain't doing that again. He's got about 26 million reasons not to tick off the entire city of Indianapolis again. You can't have Pat McAfee come down on your head again.
It's a lot of pressure. He may say, you know what? Football's not for me.
Baltimore's at Pittsburgh. The Ravens favored by 3 points in this one. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is a Mike Tomlin game. This is one of those games where Mike Tomlin just finds a way. I'm not saying he wins the game, but I do like the Steelers to cover at home, +3 against the Baltimore Ravens. Like it, love it, don't care. It is objectively true. The Steelers, over the past 3 weeks, have the #1 offense in the NFL, and it will roll again this weekend. Russell Wilson still proving Rob Brown was right, and he can still cook. Steelers cover the Ravens.
All right, I'm not going to put my fandom aside because I don't want to. I am not a fan of Russell Wilson, but I can't stand Baltimore. Pittsburgh's going to win this game.
I mean, anybody.
And they're going to cover and all that stuff.
Who threatens the Chiefs? Can't have it. Can't have it. Won't have it.
They didn't threaten the Chiefs. Chiefs already beat them.
Atlanta is at Denver. The Broncos favored by 2 in this one. I am not holding the L to the Saints against the Atlanta Falcons. That is, even when one or both of these teams are booty cheeks, that's a fantastic underappreciated rivalry in the NFL. And you had the interim spite bump for the Saints. I don't hold it against Atlanta. They go on the road and they beat Denver by a tutty.
Oh, it hurts. But Denver's going to win this game.
We'll see. They are favored by a deuce at the crib. That means Vegas thinks Atlanta's 1 point better when it's all said and done. Seattle is at San Francisco. That game, the Atlanta game, and this game, your 2:05 p.m. kicks. This one out in Santa Clara, California. San Francisco favored by 6.5. You know, I think they cover it up as long as Deebo Samuel doesn't punch his long snapper in the throat again. I'm actually shocked and disappointed in myself. We haven't addressed this yet. Deebo, that's a punk-ass move, dog.
Yeah, that's a
punk move.
It's not a good look. It's not a good move. I mean, not only did he do that to the long snapper, he also busted the kicker in the head a little bit.
Well, I think he was going after the kicker. The long snapper stepped in between. He punched the long snapper
in the neck.
The
long snapper's meal ticket, though. He needs to jump in there.
For sure. I'm going to tell you right now, that dude's big as hell. I'm gonna tell you right now, if that dude wanted to throw hands with Deebo, I think he gets him. I'd go, he's like a -170 on the fight line.
Long snapper, good job to have.
It is, except for there ain't much job security there. Go out there and you break Deebo Samuel's face, you're done for the year. I think that's my problem with this whole thing. Isn't that there's a fight between the boys on the sideline? It's football. It happens. Especially when he's missed kick #3 in the game. I get the frustration. The problem is Deebo hit this dude. This dude, if he gets hit by Deebo, nothing happens to Deebo. Slap on the wrist, maybe like a $5,000 fine, right? If this guy turns around and unloads and blasts Deebo in the orbital bone, he's off the team. That's a punk move from Deebo Samuel. San Francisco still covers.
Oh, without a doubt.
Kansas City at Buffalo. This one up at Orchard Park. Most fun game of the weekend. Highlight game of the weekend, no doubt. The Bills favored by 2. Amari Cooper has said he is not fully there, but does plan, at least wants to play on Sunday.
I want to say what I've been saying is you can't win them all. You can't. And although having a team favored over you when you're undefeated, disrespectful. Even Rob Brown has to say, disrespectful.
I ain't got to say a gosh darn thing.
Well, yeah, you should.
I don't think it's disrespectful at all. You win every game by less than a score.
It's disrespectful. So they're coming in as an underdog for like the first time this season.
Being labeled an underdog.
Listen.
An 8-2 team whose only two losses are to two division leaders.
They're fighting Vegas in this. They're fighting the fact that the refs are on Buffalo's side. And they got to deal with all that stuff. And I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this is going to be a shocker. I think it's going to be a close game, though.
Poor Kansas City just can't catch a break from the referees.
Disrespectful.
Man. Just can't catch refs a break
love,
from the
refs.
Whistles.
Love a Buffalo Bill, sure especially do. In Buffalo.
Yeah, just Kansas.
Everybody has seen
it. You know, listen, I just hope for your sake, for Patrick's sake, for Taylor's sake, I really hope you guys catch a break one day. You deserve one. You deserve a break. Cincinnati at the Chargers. A little Sunday Night Football at 8:20. The Chargers 1.5-point favorites. Boys, the Bengals are back. They lost, but the Bengal offense is back. They're going to put up 42 in this one. Give me the Bengals on the road to cover by a lot of points.
I don't want to do this. I love Joe Burrow, but the Chargers looking better every week.
Harbaugh over the Bengals.
Harbaugh knows what he's doing. He's just going to run the ball the entire time, since he's not going to have time to be get enough time on the field. Yeah, I'm going Chargers.
Watch out for the Stripey Cats. We do the college schedule when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Sorry.
So it's a true story, too. Those are the best.
I wasn't going to bring it on the air.
She does watch a lot of Lifetime. I'm just saying. So, I mean, you know.
It
sounds like a Lifetime plot, doesn't it?
It is adulting week around the radio station. All right. It is open enrollment week here at the Radio Ranch, which means that the great one and I and everybody else here have got to put down our benefit packages for the next year. We got to decide, we want a higher deductible, and do we want to lower it? And I hate being an adult. It's the worst thing I have to do. So we were talking about it during the break, and I said, I've had to wait until today because the wife and I are meeting for lunch so we can go over. Then we're married now, so it's like, okay, do we want to, does your company offer a better plan than mine, but I have better dental? Do we want to add you to one of my things, me to one of your things? Do we do this with whatever? And we went through, we were just on the stream. We talk on our stream, which airs every day on facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch. You know, we were kind of having that conversation about how I got to go home right after the show, an adult, and get my selections down. And so said, I didn't make any chances, or I didn't make any changes, except for my wife wanted me to update my life insurance policy for some reason. And then just deadpan went silent. Other than my wife wanted me to have a higher health insurance payout. End of story. That's fantastic. All right, let's take a look at the college football slate, some of the bigger games.
I'm waiting for the text. I haven't got one yet.
For sure. I asked if she wanted to borrow my yellow frame glasses since everybody thinks they're my murder glasses. I respect it. Let's start at the very top. Let's start with the early games because, there's nothing more that the Big Ten loves than putting the best team in their league. Second best team
than
in their
helping
league.
Me out. Yeah, and I appreciate it.
Ohio State is at Northwestern. They are favored by 28.5 in this one. The Buckeyes, of course, currently sit third in the Big Ten as they are behind both Indiana and Oregon, both at 7-0. I don't think, though, you're losing another game unless you find your way into the Big Ten championship, and then it's a toss-up between you and...
Well, if you're not losing another game, then you are going to end up in the Big Ten championship. I just I don't think they're covering. They're going to win.
See, I think they do, and I'll tell you why I think they do. Because you do have Indiana next week. And if you're going to beat Indiana, you guys have to be locked in on the run game. Indiana's got the best run defense in the Big Ten right now, statistically anyway. And I think you guys are going to pound the rock, and I think you'll do it for a full four quarters for the sake of making sure everything is clicking before Indiana. I will take the Buckeyes to cover 28.5. Number three, Texas on the road at Arkansas. They are favored by just a dozen out at Razorback Stadium. The Arkansas Wu-Pig Sueys got smoked by Ole Miss, 63-31. So do we see a different Arkansas team at the house come out and try to at least put some pride on the line? Listen, Vanderbilt took Texas down to the wire. I don't like them. I don't think Sam Pittman's there for much longer. I don't think this team's very good, but I will actually take Arkansas to cover 12 in this one.
What happened to the Texas hype? Remember for like the first half of the season, man,
it's still there.
And then they lost, and then suddenly no one cares. Yeah.
Well, the reality is the hype died off because Georgia lost two games. If this was even just a one-loss Georgia team with the only L coming to Bama, but when they dropped theirs to Ole Miss last week, all of a sudden, Texas is out of Georgia. It's still a good L, if there is such a thing. But the other thing was the Vanderbilt game where they snuck out of Nashville with a three-point win. I think a lot of people kind of put Texas on the back burner. I think that's because even with the Bama win, I think a lot of people still think that I think a lot of people still look at Vandy as if it's a traditional Vanderbilt team. I'll tell you what I think it's done. I think it's made Texas a sneaky, sneaky team. Yeah, but yeah. I think they're up against a desperate Arkansas team.
They win, they cover, and they were my pick at the beginning of the season to win the SEC and still have a chance to do that, right?
Yeah, they do. Utah is at Colorado. This one out at Boulder. The Buffaloes favored by 11.
Wait, they're favored.
They are by double digits over a Utah team who probably coulda, shoulda, woulda knocked off undefeated BYU last weekend if it wasn't for a phantom defensive holding call that gave the Storm and Mormons another opportunity to make something happen. Don't you put that comment on the screen. Don't you do it. Get your hand off the damn mouse, Lonzo, immediately.
You hate when you get busted.
Utah has lost five in a row now. Go ahead and make it six. I got to tell you right now, I think I am bought into the Buffaloes. I think Travis Hunter is the best college football player in America. I think he is the Heisman favorite and should win the thing. Shador is starting to make his case to be a top five draft pick at the quarterback position. I think Colorado covers this game because I think Colorado has finally started to round into a complete football team. Utah's good, but they are just beaten down right now. I'll take the Buffs to cover.
Yeah, I agree. I love this you being positive towards Coach Prime and the boys. I love it.
I'm being positive to the boys.
Okay. All
although right. I got to say this, I don't know if you saw it, but in the Texas
is your
Tech
sunglass
game,
inspiration, I believe.
With the blenders.
Yeah.
With the blenders.
All right.
Those are now my Dato. Those are my riding glasses now. Those are my motorcycle glasses. Okay. Now. I don't know, man. Like I did say, Shador ran a touchdown, or Shiloh, who one of the Sanders brothers ran a touchdown in against Texas Tech, and the ball boy came over to get the ball back. He didn't drop the ball. The ball boy knocked the ball out of the hand of to get him back, doing his job. Again, probably a little over aggressive from a ball boy, but I get it. Doing his job. His job is get the ball back. And like the Colorado offense, including Shiloh and Shador, got in his face and were like cussing him, like dog cussing him. And again, I don't care about cuss words. They don't bother me. But it's like, are you guys really bullying a ball boy, fellas? You're bullying a ball boy? Really? Really? I kind of found that sour taste in my mouth a little
bit. Sometimes the intensity of the game and the situation can fuel you into doing things that you don't want to do.
If your son was that ball boy, Lonzo, how would you feel this morning? You'd have been real mad. You'd have thought it was beyond inappropriate.
I might ask him why he didn't punch him.
You'd have lost your... Yes, why didn't you punch a professional Division I and soon-to-be top NFL draft pick? Yeah, that's a good ask. Good ask. Clemson's at Pittsburgh.
Stand up to bullies, Rob.
Sometimes the realization is that the bully will kick your ass, and you better find a better way to do it, is all I'm saying. Clemson favored by an 11.5, and I think they cover. I don't think they have a choice but to cover. I think this team's got to put style points if they want. You heard Chris Miller earlier. He thinks a three-loss SEC team like Heather Dinich can get in. He thinks the Gamecocks are one of those possibilities. If Clemson wants to prevent that, if they want to make people believe that a two-loss ACC team does deserve a bid, I think they've got to go out, and I think they've got to roll the now unranked Pitt Panthers. I think Clemson covers 11.5.
Yeah, Clemson is they've taken care of what they've done the last couple of years and lost a game that should have taken them out of contention. They're going to win until they get to South Carolina.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong at all. As far as other games that hold appeal, Penn State is at Purdue. They will cover up 28.5, in my opinion. Notre Dame hosting Virginia. They will cover up 23.5, I'm thinking. Boston College at SMU. Here's why this one's kind of interesting. We didn't get to this earlier in the show, but Thomas Castellanos, who came into this year, remember back when we did ACC Media Days and I kind of made the joke about how the ACC is promoting itself as the conference of quarterbacks this year. Thomas Castellanos was supposed to be one of them, had a real bad game last week and got benched in favor of Grayson James, the backup. Then it was announced earlier this week that Bill O'Brien was replacing Thomas Castellanos with Grayson James as QB1 for this week. Thomas Castellanos just quit the team. She's like, all right, bleep this, I'm out. He put it on X that, quote, unfortunately, all good things to come to an end, even though it's sooner than I would like, end quote. According to reports, Castellanos, and I'm quoting ESPN here, wasn't real thrilled, end quote, with the decision to bench him and go with the backup Grayson James. So he just said, yep, I'm out. Go, see ya. And my answer is, well, bye.
Just like at your job, I mean, you get demoted and you're like, you know what? Screw this place. I'm out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what he did, I suppose. I get it.
LSU's at Florida, favored by 3.5 over the Gators. DJ Lagway expected to come back in this game. Whew, talk about Brian Kelly and the Tigers. That what a downfall this has been. By the way, they are now on the verge of losing the number one quarterback recruit in the country to someone else. The Michigan Wolverines right now. Brian Kelly loses that recruit. I think Brian Kelly is under fire at LSU. He has to cover up at a mediocre Florida team.
Yeah, he does, or he'll have to find a new family.
Yes, Fire! Missouri. At South Carolina, 4:30 this afternoon. Will it be? This line has been fluctuating.
Today?
You
said today, yes.
Tomorrow afternoon, 4:15 in the evening. The Gamecocks, that line's been bouncing around, has now settled at 13.5. So a little late money coming in on the Tigers. Boys, give me the daggum cover. The Cocks to the top. They cover it up and win by 2 touchdowns.
That's my answer.
Oregon covers 13.5 against Wisconsin. Tennessee, if Nico plays, cover the 9.5. If Nico does not play, do not cover the 9.5 against Georgia. And BYU covers 2.5 over Kansas.
Can't believe I'm rooting for Tennessee, but I'm rooting for the chaos.
I respect it.
All right.
I really do.
The first thing that's Xing is the hand of Anubis.
That's a lot of words to be Xing. It is Xing because I literally have nothing.
Dude, I looked at, I don't know why, and no one else knows why either. Supposedly it's one of those, why is this trending? I don't know why this is. And then there's lots of pictures of the hand of Anubis. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and I've never been able to say the hand of Anubis ever. So, I mean.
Of course, Anubis, the Egyptian god of death and the underworld. He was the one that would shepherd you from this mortal plane onto the next life in Egyptian culture.
From the Mummy movies.
And the Assassin's Creed video game. Basically, everything that's ever been done about Egypt, Anubis is featured prominently. Body of a man, head of a dog, etc. Why is his hand trending? No idea.
I don't know either, but it is definitely trending. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Cam Newton.
Cam Newton is Xing, and we will talk about this on Monday. I just ran out of time today, had the segments filled up, unfortunately. Cam Newton was on his podcast, basically said yesterday that he was kind of hurt by the Panthers, felt like he was being erased, said he took his son to a game, and that he said, Daddy, why are there no pictures of you up in the stadium? And Cam said, I don't know, I feel like I've done enough, I gave everything to the city, blah, blah, blah. The Panthers saw that, they responded, and I got to tell you, in this, I love Cam Newton, I do, I love Cam. But the Panthers have a point, which is Cam Newton is not retired. In fact, he said in his podcast, I will never officially retire. He said, I'm never playing again. I'm done. I've played my last snap. But he said, I'm never going to officially retire. Well, here's the thing. if the Panthers do anything to celebrate Cam Newton before he is officially retired, that can be considered tampering, and they could be fined millions of dollars and draft picks for doing so. So the Panthers cannot celebrate Cam Newton, because if they do, and then tomorrow he gets a wild hair and decides, oh, you know what, screw it, I am going to, I'll go quarterback Cleveland for the rest of the year, like they did with Joe Flacco when he was retired. Remember? If he goes and plays for Cleveland and Carolina's got a picture of him up in the stadium somewhere, they could lose draft picks over it. I understand where Cam's coming from, and I get it. But Cam, if you want your picture up on the stadium, brother, sign the paper that says you're retired. You literally already said you are. Sign the paper that says you're retired, and I promise the Panthers will put something up in the stadium.
All right, the next thing, it hurts me. Bucker is Xing.
Harrison Bucker will be a Hall of Fame kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, but did they place him all the way on IR?
I believe so.
He's been struggling, and I noticed this two weeks ago. If you go back and watch, like the last four or five games, every Harrison Bucker kick, Lonzo, he collapses after the kick.
Yeah, he does.
Every kick, even XPs, he would kick and that left leg would give out, so apparently something has been bothering him. Chiefs put him on IR. They signed the kicker off the Jets practice squad. Could you imagine if the Chiefs come to Charlotte and lose to the Panthers by a missed field goal?
Well, again, can you imagine?
And Bryce Young becomes a Carolina legend?
Can you imagine if that happens Sunday when they play Buffalo? Finally, the last thing sexing is Mike Tyson.
Y'all have a great day. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. Come back Monday, and we will do it all over again, but better. We'll have breakdowns of the college football and NFL weekend and start turning our eyes over towards the NBA. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Bet for the cycle tomorrow, noon to 4 on the BetQL Network. The Rob Brown Show returns Monday, 6 till 10 a.m. right here and only on the Fan Upstate.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.